Our study tonight is in Galatians chapter 3, 1-5, God's use of Christian experience to authenticate His truth on grace. Though some in Christendom look to works plus faith for justification, as we've been talking about for the first two chapters in Galatians, many look to works plus faith for holy living, or for sanctification in Christian living, a view that is just as problematic. I would probably say far more people in Christendom are looking to works as a means of living a holy life or a holy Christian life. Some believe that you're saved by grace, but in order to stay saved, you have to back it up with good works or a good life. Because if you sin a little bit too much or a little bit too much in the wrong way, then you can undo the grace of God. Or there are many who feel that in order to be the type of husband or wife I'm supposed to be, or the type of Christian in school or business and so forth, I've got to work at it in order to be holy. Well, it's true that we have been saved unto good works, but we have to be careful as to how those works are formed. Those works are not formed by self-effort. They're formed by the power of God and by a life of faith. Anyway, Paul drew from experience to validate his gospel of justification by faith, and thereby he also gave evidence not only for justification by faith or salvation by faith, but also of the reality that sanctification in Christian living is also by faith. Galatians chapter 3, 1-5. Let me just read the verses and then we'll look at it. O foolish Galatians, in our lingo today, this you change the word foolish to stupid to get a feel for how strong this is. O stupid Galatians, that's basically what Paul is writing. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, and here's the strong word again, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made complete or perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it be in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, did he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? These are all rhetorical questions, and they have obvious answers. But the questions that Paul asked here are very potent, not only for the reference to justification, but very potent for the Christian life. Galatians 1 and 2, Paul had claimed that justification, that's where God pronounces you righteous, was by faith without works. So he gave four questions in Galatians 3, 1-5, to show from experience the validity of this truth. Now, each of these questions provides great practical value, not only in supporting the true gospel of salvation, but in edifying us regarding the true path to upright Christian living, as follows. First of all, Paul asked if his Galatian readers had received the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by faith upon hearing the gospel of Christ. That's what he means by the hearing of faith. He means that they heard as a result of their faith. Upset that his readers had been cast under some spell of deception, especially since Paul had so clearly taught that Christ had been crucified so they could be saved by grace, Paul gave a clarifying question. He asked if his Galatian readers had received the Spirit by the works of the law or by faith upon hearing the gospel of Christ. And of course, the Holy Spirit had obviously come by faith and not by the law. Nobody had been saved under the law. Paul hadn't. Peter hadn't. None of the other apostles had. These people hadn't been saved under the law. In fact, a lot of these Galatians weren't even Jewish. They were Gentiles, and they had been saved completely apart from the law. So, the answer is very obvious. You're not saved by the law or trying to keep any part of the law. It cannot improve, therefore, on God's grace and what it had achieved with this gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this point that Paul makes for justification has very profound implications for sanctification. That means holiness in Christian living. If we're saved by faith and not by a life of good works, power for living good works must also be by faith. See, if a person could have lived a righteous life without being saved by faith, why be saved by faith? You can't. Nobody can be justified by living a good life because we can't live it. If that's the case, once you're saved, you can't live that good life by anything but faith. Now, we happen to have a passage in the New Testament that really strongly verifies this. Romans chapter 8, we've already covered this in the Gospel of Romans, the Epistle of Romans, and we went through in our Sunday school class, but it's a very important passage, and it's worth going over again. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the Mosaic law could not do, in that it was weak through the sinful nature, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the body, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, the righteousness of the law can't be fulfilled by trying to keep the law, even as a Christian. The righteousness of the law can be fulfilled only as we lean upon the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's my belief that if we rely upon the Holy Spirit, we will actually live a life that exceeds the righteousness that is presented in the law itself. The reason I say that, I remember Jesus said, now you've been taught in the law that if someone strikes you in the cheek, you can only strike him in the cheek. But I say unto you, if someone strikes you in your cheek, you turn the other cheek and let him hit that one too. That's going beyond the law. And that's exactly what life under the Holy Spirit is all about. So if we want to live a Christian life, we want to do all these wonderful works, that's great. But don't try to just start doing these works. From Paul's theology, what you have to do is rely upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the motivation, He gives you the power, the drive, and then you'll see these good works flow. And it'll be actually a joy and an ease. Now, the second question is asked in verse 3 of Galatians 3. Paul asked his Galatian readers that since they'd begun the Christian life by the power of the Holy Spirit, how could they expect to be made more complete by human works? This is a great argument. This question shows the futility of thinking one can improve on the work of God, the Holy Spirit, and salvation that occurs by faith alone, and that following up salvation by good works. This is a tremendous argument, especially with those who deny eternal security. Many years ago, in the first pastorate, I went to visit a medical doctor who was going to a Methodist church in town where they didn't believe in eternal security. He had some questions as to why his church and our church couldn't get together on a special program in the community and so forth. And this man was a surgeon. He was a very intelligent doctor, a very influential man in the small community that we were at. So I took him to this verse in verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I said, doctor, you believe, as do we, that you're saved by grace through faith. Oh, yeah, not by works. No problem. I said, then how can I undo that by a bad work on my part? If I can undo that by a bad work, why did God go through the business of saving me by His grace that I can undo it by a bad work? He saw right through that immediately. He says, you and I understand it, but the average guy in the pew doesn't. And I could tell this guy, he had kind of an ego. And I said, no. Until your church changes its view and believes in the eternal security of the believer, we can't fellowship with you because that's a different form of a gospel, actually. You have to believe that we're made perfect by the Spirit. If we're begun in the Spirit, we have to be perfected by the Spirit. And he never got back to me on that, but it's interesting. Now, this also addresses the issue of sanctification in the Christian life. No believer can improve on his walk by the deeds of human effort simply because only pure faith in God led to his standing in Christ in the first place. Holy living must be as much by faith in the power of God as is one's justification and salvation. You know, if it took God's grace to send His Son to go through a horrible death on the cross so that by faith alone in Him I might be saved, we can be absolutely sure that to live a righteous life from that point on is going to take His same grace, take His same power, take the same Spirit. I can't do that on my own. I've got to rely upon Him. Now, as I rely upon Him, I live a holy life. But it's not me living it, it's Christ living it through me. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, in brackets under 2C, I pointed out how this applies to the issue of conditional salvation security. Those who believe that you can lose your salvation believe in conditional salvation security. In other words, you have security providing you're not living an ungodly life or providing you're not lapsing in faith. We believe in unconditional salvation security. But the argument is this: if one's salvation is begun in the Holy Spirit and not by human works, avoiding sin or doing good works cannot keep one saved, For only God's grace that brought one into his saved status can ever then possibly keep him there. That's very, very important. The only one who could possibly keep me saved is God. If it took him to save me, it has to take him to keep me. So whether I'm good or bad after being a Christian is irrelevant in regards to my salvation. Now, it has a lot of relevancy in reference to whether or not I'm blessed of the Lord in my Christian life. But it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not I'm a son of God. I have children, and there have been times when I discipline my children. I might be upset at them, but I never disown them. I mean, that child was mine. That's it. And the same with us and the Father. He never disowns us. We're always his children. So we need to keep that in mind. Third, Paul asked his Galatian readers if they had suffered persecution for pure faith in Christ in vain now that they were turning to the law to keep it. See, a lot of these Galatians were not even Jewish. They were Gentiles. And they'd already suffered a lot of persecution because of their faith. And Paul says, are you really saying that all that persecution that you went through is for naught? Now that you're going to turn to this? It's a very strong argument. If we have suffered for justification or belief in justification by faith, this would apply to us today. But anyway, changing their belief that salvation was by faith alone was to counter the value of the stance for which they'd already suffered. And then fourth, Paul asked his Galatian readers if the miraculous spiritual enablings they had received of God for Christian service had come by simple faith in Christ or by the works of the law. This is a really good argument because any Jewish Christian will tell you that the spiritual gift that he received did not come by works of the law. If it had, why get saved? Or why believe in Christ? Their spiritual gifts came totally apart from keeping the law. Now, the people who really would have known this would have been Paul and Peter and James, guys who had been raised under the law. They knew that the gifts that they had did not come until the day of Pentecost, after the death of Christ. And it came not because of the deeds of the law. It came as a result of the grace of God. So this question, of course, is easily answered with the negative. The spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit came by way of the Holy Spirit's arrival at salvation by faith in Christ, certainly not by the deeds of the law. I was testifying to you here tonight in the song service earlier how before I knew Christ as my Savior, the Bible, I couldn't make sense of it. I would memorize verses because it was something that was charged of us. We had to do it. It was required, but I couldn't understand the Bible. I remember one time we had a Bible class when I was at the Christian school like we were at, and we were supposed to find the key verse of Galatians. No one in the class found it, and I couldn't find it. The key verses were Galatians chapter 3, 14 and 13 and 14 about how Christ was made a curse for us that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Jews. And I remember when the teacher gave us that, I still couldn't figure out why is that the core, the key verse. I don't understand. How did he get that? Now, after I got saved, it made perfect sense. Why? Because the spiritual gift the Lord gives is the Holy Spirit. So since works never produce miraculous gifting for Christian service like salvation by pure faith in Christ does, adding human works to faith cannot improve on one's salvation status, nor can it improve on a holy life that is empowered exclusively by the Holy Spirit. We have to remember the only one who can live the Christian life is Christ. You can't live it. I can't live it. Years ago, I was in a home. They were getting ready to get a divorce. The husband and wife had called me over. They're going to call it was Sunday night. They were going to call the divorce lawyers the next morning if I couldn't help them out. So I told them, well, from everything I see, you will get a divorce because doing your best, you can't help it. You're going to get it. And they got scared at that point. They said, well, is there any hope? And I said, well, there's hope, but you can't do it. So what do you mean? I said, well, you're going to have to rely upon the Lord. If you rely upon the Lord, you'll stay married. But right now you're operating by your flesh. And you have this natural incompatibility. The personalities really didn't mesh. I said, really, there's no hope unless you rely on the Lord. If you rely on the Lord, it'll be all right. So I made him read Galatians 5, 16 to 22 about the fruit of the Spirit versus the fruit of the flesh. Told him that's your vitamin pill. Every time you have an argument, before you call me, you have to read that together. And so they would. They start and did that for about 2 weeks, and after a while, they could figure out which one was living by means of the flesh. They'd confess it to the Lord, and everything turned out. They're still married. Christian couple. But we cannot, you cannot, I cannot live the Christian life. Christ can. The point is, we have to rely upon the Lord. So the lesson is, since Christian experience reveals the total package of the believer's salvation and sanctification for holy living is by faith, not by works, he should abandon all lures to look to human merit or works to alter, to affect, or to improve on his justification and sanctification states. Now, once again, this doesn't mean a Christian shouldn't do good works, but the good works have to flow from a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Start with the Lord, and then let it flow out from that. So may these confirming experiences be recalled to keep us holding to the true gospel and upholding true sanctification in the Christian life that is by faith and not by works. This afternoon I was watching the Mets game. The Mets were playing the Texas Rangers. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the manager, Willie Randolph, has his job on the line. This weekend, they're supposed to turn around and have a winning record or he gets fired. That's the word that's out. I don't know how official it's been, but you could see the Mets, they're all nervous and all the batters are trying real hard to hit and so forth. And, of course, they're stumbling over themselves. They're trying too hard. And they lost the game that I was watching, the first of a doubleheader, 8-7. One of the base runners made a terrible mistake and decided to run home when he had no business, and so he was out by a country mile. And I just felt sorry for Willie because that's not his fault. It was a mistake made by someone else. But I was thinking that's so different from the Christian life. If the team doesn't do well, then Willie's going to get fired. That's really not kind of fair. But anyway, this morning after the service, Mike Terwilliger, Jennifer's dad, came to me and he said, "You know, I've been asked to do the men's retreat, to teach of the men's retreat, and I think this year I'm going to, if it meets with your approval, I'm going to teach on the grace of God." And he says, "I know that's a broad theme, but I hope it's all right." I said, "Mike, you can teach on that all you want. That's great. Go for it, because this is what we need today, the emphasis on the grace of God." And I was thinking about that as I was watching this game and watching poor Willie. The world functions by means of works. If you don't meet up to the standard of works that man sets, you get fired. Thankfully, that's not the way it works in the Christian life. All I have to do is to rely upon the Holy Spirit and let the Lord use me, and I produce the works that satisfy God, which is an exciting thing. It's amazing. And God is not a heavy taskmaster. Jesus said, "My burden is easy, my burden is light." Just the opposite of the legalists who like to dump it on people like that. So, as Christians, and this is what we're seeking to emphasize as a church more and more, we need to live as though not only we're saved by grace instead of works, but we need to live the Christian life as though we're living by a life of faith that is relying upon the power of God rather than on our works. That will actually free us up to be very productive by way of works, but we're not going to look to works as the means of how we're going to become holy, or the means whereby we're going to please God. We're going to look to the heart and to our relationship to the Lord to see if we're relying on Him for motivation, relying on Him for strength, relying on Him for the direction as to what we're even supposed to do. And then from that, the works flow. And then the Christian life becomes a joy and it becomes a blessing rather than a chore and a burden, as it is, unfortunately, in so many churches and so many areas that are taught today.